All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 20 of the Dunk Dynasty podcast. Another milestone in the books. 20 episodes. Who would have thought we would have got here? Not any of us, but we are here indeed. Happy Easter to everyone. If you're anywhere, hope you're enjoying your Monday off. We are not off. We are in action. Dunk Dynasty podcast. Fellas, how has things been?
Wicked as, eh? It's good to have a nice Easter, a bit of chocolate. Everyone loves a bit of chocolate. Get that belly lining going pretty good. Make sure you get out in the gym, Jed. It's not really good, actually, and it's good weather, so it's a bit of fun.
It's funny, I just returned back to the flat, and the first thing I did notice was that you'd been eating a bit of chocolate. You're looking a bit pudgy around the waist, so yeah. Easter's been good to Ethan. Hopefully it has to everyone else as well.
I forgot all about the chocolate part, to be honest. I haven't eaten chocolate in over a year, so.
Fitzpo. What a Fitzpo over here.
Hey.
Inspiring the next generation of people, eh?
Yep. It's been over a year since I last ate chocolate.
But he's had an average of 2.1 pies per day.
Ooh, probably.
Making up the calories in other ways. That's what you like to see, eh?
More protein.
How was your Easter, Pete?
Very good, man. Hanging out with the family. So whole family was in Hamilton this weekend. I was
poor them.
What was that?
Poor them.
I know. I said that to them. I said we should have come to Auckland, not you come to Hamilton, because Hamilton, interesting place. But it was good, man. Nice to get out and about. Obviously, everyone's been away. Then lots of people from here are moving overseas. So hanging out with the people is ideal, the family especially. So, pretty fun stuff. Meanwhile, NBA action is also pumping. Getting into the last 15 games of the... Well, actually, listen to that. Last 9 games of the regular season. Things are going off. Right now, as we speak, LeBron James just finished on 40 points, 9 threes. Career high. Luka's on track maybe for another 60-piece. Things are going off. But meanwhile, another guy who's been going off and has gone off for years off the rails, Draymond Green back in the headlines, ejected again, this time 4 minutes into the game against the Orlando Magic. Looking at Draymond Green, this whole passionate thing that he's been on, and he apparently is a reformed man, gets ejected. What's your thoughts on him? Do you think this is it? This is his last season, given everything that's gone on in the past, gone on, especially in the last year. Do you think this is it for him in Golden State after this year?
I think the look on Curry's face says it all after that ejection. Was just, complete. He's just pissed off. He's upset now because they need Draymond to win, obviously, and it's getting down to that time of the year where they actually need all their best players on the court to actually win their games. But I think he's just had enough. Like, and he come back his first game back, and who was it that he was kicking in the groin area straight away? Like, he's missing so many brain cells. I don't understand, like, why he wants to start fights all the time, or why he does what he does, or whatever it is. But he's honestly just needs it. Like, where did he go to get this therapy session? Does he need to go back for again? Like, he's so many screws loose. He just needs to pull his head out of his ass.
The thing about the Warriors, why did they just not pull the pin a little bit earlier? I don't know why they're holding on for so long. Like, the dynasty is done. I think that's pretty clear. I don't think... Surely the front office had to know that when Bob Myers left, that this team doesn't have what it takes to win a chip again. And when you hold on to the past too much, I feel like it almost dilutes the past a wee bit. I feel like they should have moved on from everyone but Curry and tried to transition into the next era. Because, just enjoy what you've had and then move on to the future. Don't need to drag it out for as long as possible. Draymond should be the first one off the wagon, though. I want to see him on the Hawks just for purely some chaotic culture reasons. And I feel like he's someone who might actually have a positive impact on the Hawks. But if not, at least it'll be fun to talk about.
I think Draymond's the last person that gets moved off the Warriors, to be honest. I think Clay's the first to go. Just, Steph needs Draymond and Draymond needs Steph. They go hand in hand together. They play pretty well together. Draymond does his illegal screens or whatever and gets Steph open all the time. He's important to the Warriors, but he definitely needs to sort out what he's doing. It's not called for.
Yeah, at some point in time, the rubber's got to meet the with rubber's got to meet the road with Draymond, because the behavior, this is wild, bro. The behavior, I don't understand this guy. I really don't. In 2016, you said after you guys lost the championship to the Cavs, you said, "I cost us the championship. I'll never cost my team that again. I'll change my ways." All this stuff. Since then, how many times have you been ejected? How many technical fouls have you gotten? And that's the thing. I feel like because with Draymond in those early days, 2015, 2016, they always sort of enabled that behavior by when he did these sort of things, it would always be, he's just passionate. Oh, he's our emotional leader. So you didn't hold him accountable. So subconsciously now, that's why parents with their kids, you have to set a certain standard with behavior early on. Otherwise, behavior drags on for years and years and years with no accountability, which breeds bad behavior for years to come. That's what's happened with Draymond. When you let him get away with something for so long early on, now he's like, well, I'm passionate. I'm emotional leader, yada, yada. This is what you get. You guys created the monster. Now you guys have to deal with it.
Yeah. You think about what those first few ones with the Stephen Adams kicks in the groin as well. It's kind of like, he's like playing it off. It's like, it's a basketball play. Like my leg just swung up. Just look at how blatantly wrong and how awfully bad that looks now. Like there is no way he shouldn't have got more punishment back then. To be fair, if he was held to the account he should have been, the Warriors most likely should have never made the finals, because he should have been suspended in that previous series. But, you know, let's not dwell on that too much, because that doesn't really benefit anyone at the end of the day. But yeah, it's kind of shocking, and it's going to be interesting to see. Is he going to get punished for this? I haven't seen anything come through the media at all.
No, nothing's come out. And then he tried to kick Grant Williams as well in the groin as well. So
I mean, he deserves it.
It's like, bro, this guy is just, you can't smack Nurkic in the face and then have all this, oh, I'm reformed person, yada. And it's just the same thing all the time. It's, oh, you know, I cost my team. I'm going to be a better person. Every single time you punch Jordan Poole in the face, there's incident after incident. Like you smack, what's his name? Jordan Poole in the face. You stomped on Domantas Sabonis. You punched Nurkic in the face. This has all happened in the last year. All of this has happened in the last year. And now this ejection is just the icing on the cake, which took him to career ejection. That was career ejection number 21 for Draymond Green. Only eight behind Rasheed Wallace. And really, Draymond Green has only been like an actual legit starter since 2014, 2015. So those ejections have come in those last, so essentially two ejections a year. Rasheed Wallace had 29 in however many years. But what's even more fascinating, since Draymond Green became a starter, ejections by year: 2015, 15, tied second. 2016, he had 21. He was first. 2017, he had 18. 2018, 22. 2019, 23. 2020, 14. 2021, 15. 2022, 18. 2023, 21. This season, 2024, he's got 10. Top five in techs every single year, except this season where he was suspended.
The man just lacks self-awareness. Like, at some point, look yourself in the mirror and realize you don't just look like Donkey of Shrek, but you also look like a clown. You're just doing the same thing over and over, and it's costing your team. And to be fair, the Rockets should be nowhere near close to catching the Warriors. The Warriors should have had them taken care of a while ago. So yeah, it's going to be to the detriment of the team. And if the Warriors miss the playoffs this year, I feel like they need to, you know, really, well, Draymond needs to take a long, hard look at himself and really take some responsibility for what he cost the team.
Well, it's not even Draymond that needs to look at himself. It's the team. It's generally not. Like, they need to actually go, Draymond Green's averaging 5-5-5. Like, he's useless to us. The only thing he brings is intensity, but he doesn't even bring that. I could get more out of Patrick Beverley than I could out of Draymond Green right now, because at least he's going to stay on the court. Like, he needs to go, and whoever picks him up probably is going to be in the shock of their life when they realize he's actually shit.
No, Andrew Wiggins needs to look in the mirror. What happened to you? You used to be good. Bro got hit by a train or something.
You take someone into a system that they're not familiar in, bro. I mean, this is a different system to what he is. Andrew Wiggins was never like, oh, the lights out 3-point shooter for that sort of system. He was a really good player, but he played predominantly in the mid-range.
What about 2022? When, man, he was amazing. When
one
they won
year
the
out of 10 years in the league, you know?
Yeah, key thing about
he
that.
He was
though,
good on the T-Wolves yeah, too.
But the key thing about
predominantly
that
predominantly mid-range
that
when
he was
on the Timberwolves.
He was also
Timberwolves.
The number two option on that team. He was the number two. He was the behind Curry. When Curry got injured, he was the number one. When Curry was there, he was the number two because Clay wasn't playing. Draymond was also in a better state of mind, and so the team was going well. But then the Clay comes back, Wiggins goes to number three, plays shit, Wiggins is just shit because his space is shit. Draymond's fighting people all the time. Kevon Looney's getting old. They're just running out of players, running out of decently good options, and so that's just why.
Yeah. Also, they haven't really developed a good core of players to come through. Like, the Wiseman thing is the biggest missed opportunity of all time. Like, Steph gets, well, your whole team gets injured, you get the number two pick in the draft, and you just absolutely shit the bed.
And I think that's what they're trying to fix by the draft, though.
Pascal, whatever his name is, he was a missed opportunity.
Eric Pascal wasn't a high pick. Like,
he was like 30th pick or something.
Yeah, James Wiseman was the guy, and they wasted. They could have got
Pascal
Anthony
showed potential. He showed potential and showed that he could actually ball a bit, and so they didn't utilize it at all.
Yeah,
but where's
they
he
were
now?
Trying to get everyone. Like, he's out the league, and he's. I saw those highlights. Him playing with what's his name the other day. I think he might have been playing with like Udonis Haslem or someone at an open gym. But you know, that's where he is now.
Sharks.
Whereas, looking at James Wiseman, bro, you guys could have got LaMelo Ball. You guys went for James Wiseman. That's on you.
To be fair,
like,
well, wasn't Halliburton in that drop? There was Halliburton as well.
You could have got, bro, so many other players who could have fit. Like, I don't understand why they got Wiseman. Maybe they saw something or get another a post-dominant scorer. He can turn into like a more, like a better version of Draymond. But that's a wasted pick, man.
Looking back at it, would you take LaMelo Ball knowing how much he plays in the season?
But he's still only 22.
Yeah, but he is. He's missed like half of every season he's played in.
Yeah, you still take him. In that draft.
He's worse than Zion,
man. There's another player that had the same trajectory of his career who's one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Who's that?
Curry.
Yeah, Curry
same
started
thing.
Off injured early doors as well.
And Joel Embiid missed
Joel
a
Embiid.
Shit ton of games.
Yeah, but he didn't play at all. Joel Embiid didn't play at all. For those first two
so what,
years.
Playing, and it's all the same injury. Like it's just a dusty ankle. Like it's not like it's a real. It's not like he's tearing ACLs. He's doing his Achilles. He's just got an ankle that's not healing properly. Or he's re.
So why does he come back and play when it's not fully healthy? That's on the team, really.
Well, either that, or he's just incredibly unlucky.
Yeah, but going back to the Warriors, where do you think that they can go from here with Draymond and this team? Because for me, I look at it with this seems just you're holding on for dear life. And especially with Draymond, it seems now it's more so not just tolerating. It seems like it's just tolerating him until the point in time where they can say, we can get rid of you. Which, if they miss the play-in, yeah, 100%, he's gone. I don't see any way you can trade him, though. So it's a difficult situation there because I don't know if any team wants to take on that deal.
No.
I know it's only 25 million, but still.
No, there'll be teams. This is the thing. There's always teams. It's like the Dylan Brooks thing. Like everyone's like, oh, who's gonna take on Dylan Brooks? There's a lot of upside for if it goes right, and there's a lot of teams willing to take a gamble. I think the Hawks would be a good place for him, but the Hawks have got so many other questions and so many other things that they need to sort out before they even consider going for the likes of Draymond Green. But yeah, no, there'll be teams for him. I don't think there'll be any issue in that.
I could see the Bucks going after him, eh?
You reckon?
Like a dog on, a defensive leader. That's what the Bucks sort of need. It's like bring a defensive presence. You see what Patrick Beverley's done since being on the team. Like,
yeah, but,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like Draymond Green would come out and say something about Thanasis, and then like the locker room would just turn, everyone would turn against Draymond.
Well, then they turn against him.
Because they have to, otherwise they get traded.
Adrian Griffin said that he got sacked. Maybe Draymond gets sacked. You never know.
To be fair, that Adrian Griffin firing looks pretty good now, how far the Bucks defense has come along.
Yeah, they're 14-14 over the last 28 games or something since he's been fired.
Dr. Rivers is not the one, man.
It was 30-13 with Adrian Griffin.
But at least
14 with Doc Rivers.
But at least they're playing defense.
But they're losing.
Anyway. Anyway. Yeah. So it's fair. I hope that the Warriors miss the play-in so that, yeah, we can finally get to a point in time where what's needed to happen for a while can happen. Draymond Green, GG'd. But yeah. Looking at another team, though. Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. First 40-20 game in the NBA. Also happened in a game where Jalen Brunson scored 61 points. Second only to Carmelo Anthony all time for the Knicks franchise record for points in a game. Looking at Wemby, this rookie season that he's had, that he's put together, has been unbelievable. It's been insane. Going forward, what do you think we're going to get out of Wemby going into next season? Because this year, I think he's just under 20 or just a tad over 20, nearly 2010 in year one, which is insane. Then the blocks and steals as well is just on another level too. What do you think we can expect out of him next year? Are we starting to talk all MVP, defensive player of the year? What's your thoughts for next year?
If he offers minutes restriction, we could see 25, 12, and maybe 4 blocks a game. I wouldn't be surprised if that was to happen. And I reckon playing's definitely in the where they want to go, really. Yeah, sky's the limit for me.
Wemby, in the next couple of years, is going to have a 40-point game, a 30-rebound game, and a 10-block game. And I can't wait for the day that it happens. Yeah. And I'm so excited for it. Because that dude is like, the gap from the Rookie of the Year race from, you know, month, 6 weeks ago to now is so extreme. It's hard to even fathom that we actually had a discussion about who was going to get it 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. It's like he's taking over now. Like the Spurs actually look like a really good team. Soshan's playing well. Vassell, all these dudes are just buying into this Wembanyama. And it's like he's next year when they get, because they're going to finish shit anyway, when they get another decent pick, another decent player, put on top of that with Wemby, potentially do a bit of moves around. You know, Trae Young could be available or something, or even DeJounte Murray, whoever it is, they're going to get the pair with him. I don't know if it's going to be one of those guys or not, but he's the talent, the insane.
Ethan, we didn't discuss it. Old mate over there discussed it. There was only one person here who even had a discussion about this, who was trying to yap to us and say that Chet Holmgren was somewhere close to Wemby. Now, 6 weeks later.
2 months into the season.
Now, hold on. Now, 6 weeks later, where are you now? We tried to tell you this. You were saying, oh, overreacting. We tried to tell you it wasn't close. Now, look at you. Now, you're the same as we were.
And look at Chet now. Look at Chet now.
We told you it wasn't close. And
Chet had 2 points the other day. Get him out.
Not even close. It wasn't close then, and it's not close now.
2 months into the season, the Rookie of the Year was Chet, and that's what I was saying. And I said, to finish the season, I wouldn't be surprised if Wemby continues the way he's going, it'll be a runaway. And I did say that. And then when he started to pull off, I was like, oh, I've changed my tune now because, you know, Wemby is so much better. But at the time, even the NBA released their Rookie of the Month, Chet, two times the first 2 months was over Wemby. So it's not ridiculous to say at that point in time, Chet was the Rookie of the Year. He's not now, and he's not going to get it, and it's not going to be close. But you guys just like, we'll keep the receipts, and we won't throw any context out there. At the time, there was a legitimate argument, and we were probably having this.
You had us in the first half, not going to lie. After that, GG's. No. It's been the Wemby show. You probably had other people. Us three were never on the chit tray. We try to tell you from minute one, day one, it's the Wemby show, and it's not. Look, bro, certain people can see certain things.
At the start, for the first 2 months of the year, Wemby didn't adjust to the NBA anywhere near as quickly as Chet did.
Chet had a whole year of training, though, with players.
Yeah, with his team. Chet technically isn't a rookie, but he is.
Give it a break. That is just.
What do you mean, give it a break? You're missing a key detail in that argument, which is the fact that he was drafted last year and had a whole year to play with players and learn
while he was injured.
Tactics.
While he was injured.
What, he can't look at a playbook while he's injured?
And at the end of the day, at the end of the day.
He could have played the last 2 months of last season, and he chose not to because he wanted to win Rookie of the Year next year.
Oh, he wasn't in the gym doing drills?
Wimby said he had been preparing for the NBA his whole life. So does that mean what? Chet had 1 year to prepare. Wimby had his whole life. So you know.
What do you mean? He was on the NBA roster.
What do you mean, Trey? He was always going to the NBA. Can you not read a playbook?
He was literally training with the team. Wimby was in Europe.
Jib, what do you mean by we're not throwing out any context with the Wimby v Chet debate? We 100% are. It's statistically, statistically, in the first 2 months, Wimby had better stats than Chet, just because Chet was on a winning team, so he was rookie of the year, or rookie of the month, and he was having some decently good numbers. Cool. Superb. Great. What happened now? Where's he now? Chet?
Still playing. He's played every single game this season. The durability's been insane.
He's been insane. Oh, my God. He's scoring 2 points a game. Don't even come at me right now. He's shit.
His points.
He's still only played 50% of his games in his career because he missed the whole first season.
He's also still won more games than the Wizards have in the last three seasons in this year alone. If you put Chet versus the Wizards, like wins last 2 years, it's not even close.
How's this coming back on the Wizards? We're talking about
Wimby. Well, it always comes back on the Clippers, and now it's coming back on the Wizards, and I like it.
Wizards are bad. Like, I know. We are bad. Worst franchise in history. Whatever you want.
Wizards is Lakers supporters that think LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to win another chip.
Hey, man, leave us alone.
Just to finish it off, their numbers, their points were, Wimby averaged one more point per game, but Chet's field goal percentage was higher by 10%, and his three-point percentage was higher by 10%. So the efficiency and the winning was there, and as voted by the NBA, was the rookie of the month. Both months, he was up 2-0. So to say that there was no argument, or to say that I was unwarranted in having my opinion, I was on the majority side at the time. You guys were just a little ahead of the curve. Or I'm saying...
The silent majority, probably. Not the major... the silent majority. That's probably what.
To be fair...
It's funny, Jed, because you say that the voting's had Chet winning it and that we were on the silent majority or whatever. Everybody that was talking about it, that are high up, your Nick Wrights and whoever else is up there, names have slipped my mind. Cowherd, whatever his name is. All saying Wimby is the rookie of the year and it's not even close. And they were saying that even when Chet was winning those monthly awards.
Do you want me to find a clip for you where JJ Redick was talking about how by far and away his rookie of the year was Chet at the time?
I wonder who's rookie of the year.
Then he apologized.
What's he going
to
say now?
All I'm saying is you guys pulled up the receipts, and I'm saying at the time it was a good argument, and now it's not even close. I don't know why you guys are so. Bro, have many players in the NBA had a 5x5? No.
Exactly. Wimby's one of a kind. He's a unicorn, mate. He's an alien.
Yeah, but just...
10 blocks in the game. Remember last time that was done?
Okay, now you're glazing. That's glazing. You're actually glazing now. That's glazing. You're glazing so hard now. Right. You're glazing.
Glazing like P does LeBron.
9 out of 10 threes, man. Tell me when
your glorious does king. That.
Tell me when your goat does that. But also, in the same game that Wimby had that 40-20, we also had Jalen Brunson, 61 points. As we spoke about just before, second most points in a game by a New York Knick, only behind Carmelo Anthony, who had one more point in 2014. So, looking at Jalen Brunson, looking where the Knicks are, what's your thoughts on Jalen Brunson in terms of where he stands amongst the NBA, among the NBA elite guards? Where do you kind of have him ranked? I'll start with you, Oklahoma City fan, since I believe you will have him probably only behind Luka and Shea, maybe?
No. So I've got him, Brunson, at fifth. I've got, behind Luka and Shea, but also behind Steph and Ant. So, that's where I've got him sitting. And to be fair, he's probably one of the players in the NBA I back the most coming into the playoffs. I feel like he plays that kind of way where you can kind of back him. He gets hard baskets, but he always kind of puts his best foot forward. He's, he's a little bit ball dominant at times, but, he can get to the rim. He can score. He's got a nice shot on him. Brunson, I have him at fifth best guard in the NBA. I've got him ahead of Lillard, Mitchell, Jar, Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, all those guys, ahead of Tyrese Maxey, of course. Yeah, interesting to see what you guys think.
I am very fascinated Anthony Edwards, well, I know I was preaching him last, but I didn't have Anthony Edwards in that top five. I think the only person I have different to you is Anthony Edwards. My top five is, in order, I've got Luka number one. I've got Luka number one, Shea at two, Curry at three, Booker T. Washington at four, and then I've got Jalen Brunson at five. And then all those other guys that you named all behind that top five there, chasing that peloton. So, I don't know. Ant Edwards is tough for me because I'm including, as I always say, let me see in the playoffs, I'm including what I've seen from Booker. Booker, the reason why is he's averaging more points than, Anthony Edwards, averaging more assists than Anthony Edwards, averaging more assists there. And then same thing with Jalen Brunson, averaging more points and assists than Anthony Edwards. So that pushes him above both, yeah. Well, pushes Anthony Edwards below both of them for me.
To be fair, I'd have him in that range anyway. Like, if you're going to swap either Brunson, Booker, or Ant, I feel like there's a very solid argument for all three. But I feel like you can't touch the top three at all. The top three is by far.
Yeah. Who you got, Trigger Trey?
I've got Donovan Mitchell over Jalen Brunson. I think he just has more impact to his team. Or, like, not really impact.
What do you mean?
He just, you know, Donovan Mitchell has won heaps of games throughout his career. Like, his win percentage when he plays is, like, I don't know. I think he's good.
This argument's over already because we can already shut that down. How did he go in the first round last year? That ends that whole debate.
You can't blame it all on him.
Well, he got outplayed by Jalen Brunson.
The whole team played bad.
Did the whole team play bad in Utah all those other times as well?
They were like 61 teams regular season.
How did they go in the playoffs? Did they go past the second round? The first round? There you go. Jalen Brunson was the number one guy. They made it the second round. His first year as the number one guy. But I'll let you continue.
Nah, never mind.
Yeah, well, they're 34-17 with him this year. Don't know what they are without him, but yeah, that's pretty good. But I don't know. Donovan Mitchell's never really done it for me. When it comes down to it, he kind of goes away from what made the teams great in the first place.
He's been shut down. It doesn't have it. Who's the rest of your top five?
Nah, it doesn't matter. I don't like Jalen Brunson anyway, so he can be real. I hate him.
You hate Jalen Brunson?
I hate him.
Okay.
He fucked me over in fantasy. Okay. Though. Fuck him.
So I'm gonna pay one. So I've got Brunson down at 7 or 8. I've got Doncic, Shea, Curry, Fox, Booker, Halliburton, and then I've got Brunson and Trae Young kind of next to each other. That's what I'm
Halliburton. Are you smoking crack?
Nah.
And Fox, what?
And De'Aaron Fox has been on one this year, and the fact that he hasn't got as much love as what he's probably that some of these other guys are getting is ridiculous. Like, Devin Booker's like the only because of pure talent, not because of the fact that he's had a sensationally good season. Fox had a better season than Devin Booker. Fox had a better season than Halliburton, and he's up there with Brunson.
Are you talking about this season?
Brunson's having like a career year.
Are you talking about this season? Fox better than Brunson.
35 games, good.
100%. Fox is
not averaging 30 a game this season.
Yeah, he's averaging 26.5, which is less than Jalen Brunson's 28 per game, which is fourth in the league.
He's less than Devin Booker, and he averages less points and less assists than Devin Booker. How is he better than what?
I still have De'Aaron Fox higher.
Yeah, you know how you said De'Aaron Fox has been on one this season? He's also been off like 20 times. He's had some atrocious games this year. And the Kings, just in general, man, can they win a...
He's like, going good. He's not even bad. De'Aaron Fox is still having a big impact on his team.
Bro, they lose to teams like the Wizards on the regular.
What? All right, De'Aaron Fox.
Positive by heaps. It's not really that Valid there, Jed.
How is Devin? Wait, how have you put De'Aaron Fox above
at number four? De'Aaron Fox is at number four. De'Aaron Fox is at number four. And I got Booker at five, Halliburton six, Brunson seven. That's what I've done.
Yeah, Halliburton is not better than Brunson.
He is though. Like,
no, he's not.
So what, are you guys fully basing this off currently, like right now, the last few weeks? Are you guys basing this off the entire season?
This is
are
the
you
whole this season. All
this is all talent. Well, if we're going off the whole season, Halliburton has had a better season than Brunson. Just because Brunson's getting more points currently right now. What do you mean?
Is Tyrese Halliburton the number one on his team?
Was it Brunson or Halliburton? Who was starting the All-Star game?
To be fair.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, because he had the votes.
To be fair, okay. Brunson should have been starting over Lillard, though.
The only reason why Jalen Brunson didn't start was because him and Damian Lillard were tied on the point system. The only reason Dame got in as a starter was because he had more votes from the fans. That's the only reason they were tied on the points.
You guys just aren't paying attention. It's 100%. Jalen Brunson is not a top five guard in the league.
So tell me why a top five guard in the league last season carried his team to the second round of the playoffs if he's not a top five guard.
Against Donovan Mitchell,
who Trey said was a top five guard.
Firstly, I didn't say Donovan Mitchell was a top five guard. That wasn't me.
He didn't even say he was top 10, to be fair.
Which I'm likely to side with, to be fair.
No, Mitchell would be top 10. He'd probably be like 9th or 10th, and you got the others.
You had Trae Young in.
I'm skeptical to say who else I've got floating around because I feel like you guys would just rip me out for it.
Oh, you're skeptical.
I'd have Mitchell over Halliburton any day. That's
brother, you said De'Aaron right. Fox over.
De'Aaron Fox is a top 5 guard in the league. Absolutely.
Point guard, maybe.
This guy is smoking. I think you might be on it, brother. No way you think that. What?
100%.
Point guard and shooting guard.
So you think De'Aaron Fox,
top five guard in the league,
is better than Devin Booker?
That's what I said. Well, to be fair, I'd have Devin Booker 28th. I hate that dude.
It's not talking about hate. We're not talking about the hate. We're talking about.
Yeah, you need to put your hate aside.
Yeah, 100%. I reckon De'Aaron Fox is a better player than Devin Booker.
Oh my god!
100%. He's got a better bag. What? Just because Devin Booker's hit a couple of shots in some key games? Please, Devin Booker's not it. If he was so good, then why was him and KD and Beal not doing better than what they are? And Nurkic and who else? Grayson Allen not doing better than what they are? They're behind the king right now.
Beal's just unreliable. He can't stay healthy for the death of him.
For the death of
him. And he's bad this year.
For the death of him. I can't believe this. I just don't even know what I've heard. Someone else take over, bro. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I think we're definitely, if we like had to say up or down on De'Aaron Fox being a top guard in the NBA, the three of us here are down on that. Like,
I don't understand why. Like, why are you down on De'Aaron Fox as a guard?
Have you not seen De'Aaron Fox with 15-point games where he shot like 20 shots in the last 2 weeks? Have you not seen that?
You know how many players do that consistently? Who else is going to shoot in that team? Keegan Murray? Come on.
I'd give him a lot of shots.
Wow.
I wouldn't give them to Sabonis because...
Listen, I want to hear what social media's got to say, what people's top fives are. If there's anyone out 100%. There who thinks that De'Aaron Fox is better than... who else? So Devin just Booker. Name the people who you said De'Aaron Fox is better than.
Devin Booker,
yep.
Halliburton, yep. Brunson.
Yep, okay. Make sure I got that down. If you think De'Aaron Fox is better than...
Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, and then do Trey's one with Donovan Mitchell. I don't want to be getting ripped out. Here.
Trey didn't finish his top five. Trey, what's the rest of your top five?
There. I'm probably on side there with Jed, Steph, Luka, Shea, and Ant. I reckon him and Devin Booker are pretty tight. I'd give him a tie, to be honest.
Yeah, to be fair, I almost go Ant over Devin Booker just purely because now that Cat's out and the Timberwolves have needed to step it up, Ant's kind of elevated them enough that they're still well and truly in the chase for that number one seed, which is not something I expected.
The defense on Ant is, I don't know, I think he's a little bit more aggressive than Devin Booker. The yeah, I don't know.
Although,
That's just my opinion, anyways. I'm never right.
looking though at another guard who's wasn't in any of our top tens or top fives or top tens, DeJounte Murray. Last two games against the Celtics, Hawks pull off two wins, two big wins over the Celtics, probably exposing some weaknesses that they have going on there, including a 44-point game in which he shot 44 shots, the most, I think, since Kobe. Well, at the time, I think Jalen Brunson then broke it a day later. That tell you more about the Celtics and where they are as a team, about, yeah, essentially their struggles that they've had over the last couple of weeks.
The Celtics, I don't think they're in trouble. They've got 9 games to go in the season. They're coming to the end of a very successful year. They're playing a bit of basketball that's probably more selfish now than what it has been, given the fact that they've had a few injuries. Holiday's been out, Porzingis and all that, and so they're just kind of getting to the end of the season, trying to stay healthy as they can, playing a bit more ISO ball, doing that, not having as and but they're still building that chemistry, building that team. I think they'll be fine come playoffs. I don't have any. They'll be in the finals against the Clippers, and the Clippers will beat them. But it sucks that that's going to happen. But they'll be there. They'll be
Neither of those two teams that you mentioned are
there.
making the finals, no chance, because both of them struggle with the same thing, which is isolating too much. But one of them struggles with something even more so than the other, which is late game execution. Joe Mazzulla, I enjoy your last year being the head coach of the Boston Celtics. But also in the same breath, in the same sentence, I also want to say, I didn't think I was going to have to do it this early on in his career, but been a fan of Hakeem Olajuwon for a long time. But congratulations to Nikola Jokic, the second greatest NBA center of all time, after he wins the second NBA championship and Finals MVP this season. Because no, there's no one there. Even if the Celtics make it there, their late game execution at some point in time is always going to haunt them, and that's the same things that have been wrong since the beginning of the season when they were losing some of those games because of late game execution. It's still happening now. Late game execution, you come out of a timeout, you have 4.7 seconds to go get a score with Jason Tatum. You just run a straight ISO play for a step back three. You had all that time to draw up a play. Like, what are you, come on, bro. And then in overtime, you call the timeout when you guys are down by two. You come out. What do you call a play to go ISO? For Jaylen Brown, I believe that it was. Jaylen Brown gets you a shot from the high post on the right-hand side of the court. Again, that wasn't even the designed play. It just came about randomly.
Yeah, so
Brother,
okay, on that
terrible
then
late game
that you're saying
execution.
that. Is that more reflective of the players and them not agreeing with them, or is that more reflective on the coach?
I think it's
Because
100% on the coach, because you see other
the
teams like
coach.
Denver. Denver know what Mike Malone in the clutch every single time when they were playing the Lakers, not even just the Lakers in that series in the conference finals last season, even in the series against the Timberwolves, late game, give the ball to Jokic and Murray, two-man game, everyone get the
Pick and
fuck out of the
roll.
way. The Celtics,
Pick
what
and
do they
roll.
do in the clutch? It just seems as though it's Mazzulla goes, Tatum, we'll get you a matchup, we'll get you in isolation. You go get a bucket for us. What are you doing, brother? Like, and he goes ISOs. He doesn't even attack the basket. It's just looking to get a three or looking to get a shot in the mid-range. I think that's on the coach. But in the same breath, I can see what you mean. It's a small percentage on the player. But I feel like as a coach, you have to hold players accountable. Go to the player's strengths. Go to the basket because you might get fouled, A, or two, it's an easier shot to get yourself a layup. For some reason, these guys just love to shoot jumpers for the game winners.
Yeah,
I don't know.
it's so strange how far they come. Remember, like the early on Celtics with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they had Brad Stevens, who was like the late game, oh, the late game play king. They used to have like such creative plays. Now they're just literally like, oh, let's ISO it up. It's kind of sad to see that they've come this way. With so much talent, they have five players who can theoretically get a good look and knock down a shot at the end of a game. Yeah, it's kind of
Why can't
sad.
they?
Well, it's, I don't know. There's issues there across the board. Like,
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
definitely Joe Mazzulla, or more like Joe Confusia, because what the fuck is going on there?
Never again in your life. Never again in your life. Oh. Mazzulla might be GG'd.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't know. It's so weird to see like a number one seed coach be fired, but I feel like there's certain times, certain criteria, and this fits it.
Dwayne Casey had
But
it, man.
Yeah.
Coach of the year.
Yeah, but Dwayne Catcher Casey, he was an interesting one though, because like they failed in the playoffs year after year after year, and like I feel bad for him because he literally
Never
was
heard
the
of
star.
LeBronto.
Yeah, LeBronto. Yeah.
LeBronto.
But
Yeah. All right.
it's the same as the
LeBron
Celtics.
Paul.
The Celtics have failed in the playoffs year after year after year after year. Like they've made it to the finals, they've made it to the conference finals. But if you look at the whole last 5 years, it's actually been a failure because you've made it to the conference finals or the finals every single year, zero rings to show for it. And you look at the players that have gone through that team, whether it's be, excuse me, whether it be Kyrie Irving, you had Gordon Hayward, you had Isaiah Thomas when he was an all-star, you had all these pieces have come through. Then this season you've got, oh, you even had a defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. You had Robert Williams. We can just keep the list going on and on.
Yeah,
And
Blake
the
Griffin.
entire time, like, you had Jason Tatum as the number one guy in the finals. He got locked up by
But
Andrew
okay,
Wiggins.
again, I go back to my point. Is it on the players? Because
Griffin.
they keep changing the coach, they'll change the front office, they're
No,
doing the
I
lessons,
know it's a sticking coach I've had
they're
in like
still
10 years.
using Jason Tatum as the number one dude. They've got Jaylen Brown as the number two, and those guys aren't getting the job done. What
It's
do
a
they have to change?
combination,
Okay, well
but
then
like
who trade
but
one?
the coach's job is to get the most out of these players and put a system in place that gets these players to the place where they can win a championship. And Joe Mazzulla has obviously proven that. Well, this year will be a good example of whether he can or not, because they have by far the best roster in the NBA. It should be their championship to lose, but they haven't. He hasn't positioned them in a spot where it is going to be theirs to lose. Like everyone's still talking about the Celtics, the Nuggets as the favorite, because the Celtics just haven't proven that they can do
Nah,
what's
see,
needed.
I disagree. I disagree. I don't think it's on Joe Mazzulla. I think it's on the players that are playing, because Jrue Holiday's been there and done it. Porzingis is a top tier player. He knows how to play basketball. He knows what to do. Jaylen Brown, what's his name? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been there. They know how to play basketball. They're not silly. They know what moves they can do together. They know how to work off each other. Peyton Pritchard's a good player. They've got Al Horford as a. They've got Derek White. They've got solid players who know how to play. If Joe Mazzulla's doing up a play and or whatever it is, and they don't quite like it, they can pitch in and they can put a bit of information. Don't just go out there and just blame it all on the coach. It's not the coach. When you get to a certain level, when you've been together for a certain amount of time, you should know exactly everyone's mannerisms. You should know exactly what's going on. And it shouldn't be very hard to play. It's on the players. It's not on the coach. The coach has brought them to the situation where they're winning games, they're taking control, but they're not closing. That's on the players. That's not on the coach.
But do you think it should be some of the co well, a lot of the coach's responsibility to put a system in place where these players can get to
Yeah, but they
can.
have. They've won 60 games. The system is there. Just because now, currently, that the ISO ball is no longer working is a defensive strategy that teams are now implementing to change it. So then so the coach does need to come with the players and be like, we need to come with something different. That's not going to be an ISO ball play. That's going to change the dynamic of our team a little bit. And the players are good enough, been there long enough to know how to do that. And that's on the players. They know when you're playing a game and you're into it, for example, I'm taking this from rugby, you know what's going on, you know what's happening, you know how to change something, you know how to adapt on the move, on the fly. These guys are million-dollar players that know how to adapt on the move. It shouldn't just be down to the coach. There's so many
Hey,
people involved there that they.
I'm calling it now that the Celtics, the 2024 Celtics, are the 08 Mavericks. They're losing in the first round to the Miami Heat. Calling it right now.
Do you reckon they're going to lose in the first round? That's
Oh, if they
crazy.
play the Miami Heat, I reckon they're the biggest threat to the Celtics.
Because it comes back down to coaching. Because Mazzulla will be outcoached. There's only talent can only take you so far. You can have all the talent in the world. You see the 2004 Los Angeles Lakers. They'll tell you that. You can have all the talent in the world. If you get outcoached and outplayed and out-hustled, you will lose. This team here, they've got the talent. They've got the hustle to a certain degree, but it is the late game execution that I think at some point in time
That's
will
not
come
on
back to get
that's
them.
not on the coach.
It
That's on the players.
is on the coach. If you come out of
You
a timeout
literally
and
just mentioned out hustled and outplayed.
brother,
That
you
isn't
get
on the coach. That's
brother,
on
you
Jason
get
Tatum and Jaylen Brown not
timeouts.
hustling enough on defense or on offense. Not getting their buckets and not chasing the rebound if it's gonna miss. Not getting your team in better positions, not using a two-man game.
Yeah,
That's
but
on the
it's on the
players.
coach
It's
to
on the
inspire
coach.
players.
If you have 4.7 seconds left in a basketball game to call a play, why is the play that you come out with an ISO on the left-hand side of the court? for your player. No screening action, no off-ball, no nothing. It's a straight ISO.
People call stupid things all the time. But also, you're also putting that completely on the coach and saying that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown didn't say, okay, we like that, that's a good idea, we're going to run that. If they don't like it, they don't run it. They can say to the coach, "That's we don't like that, it's not working in the game."
No,
and
the coach. The coach gets millions of dollars to coach. It's not the players.
They get millions of dollars to get the ball in the fucking bucket and chase the ball if they miss a rebound. And
it's their job to listen to the coach. It's their job to listen to the coach. The coach's job is to resign the player to win the game.
To fucking execute the coach's plans and whatever. And then they're not.
But if the coach's plan is to isolate, it's not going to win them the game. We've seen this so many times. This is what Pete's talking about. It's the coach's job to design a plan so they can win the game.
The player.
In an open shot.
Yeah,
not
the players follow the player. You think, brother, they're not going to... What did I say the coach? The coach is the guy. He's the one in touch.
We're never going to agree on this point at all. We're never going to agree on this point. Never.
Okay, you get Spo coaching the Celtics. He is not going to call a Tatum isolation at the end of a game.
While we're speaking of coaches, Ime Udoka, does he know how to coach the first half of the season? Because this is the second this is the second coaching job, and the Celtics were dog shit in the first half of the season. And then they absolutely pumped the second half of the season, and then the same thing's happening with these Rockets.
Udoka,
you know why? It's because he's finding somebody
not
in the front office that he likes.
You don't say the first half, not gonna lie. That's his motto, man. Every single
he's met a woman in the front office, and that's why he's coaching.
He spent the first half of the season trying to get with one of the ladies in the back.
Him and Josh Primo cheer notes.
Holy. Yeah, but I feel like if you had Spoelstra as the coach of the Celtics, they would have won 70 games.
Yeah, 70 games.
Yeah,
for sure.
And there would be the number, and not only that, there would be the favorite, and not even close. They would win the championship if they had Spo.
No. Oh my god, you're taking the player element completely out of it by just saying it's
well, no,
the coach.
Actually,
they've got all the tools they need,
brother. It's all on coaching.
They've won 60 games. They're gonna win 65.
So what?
You can win.
Oh wait, Maverick.
You can win 60 games.
Oh wait, Maverick.
You can out talent teams. Look at the NBA. You can out talent 25 teams in the NBA right now.
Yeah,
out talent them.
The
Celtics can out talent 25 teams.
The Washington Wizards get out talented every night.
Exactly. That's what the Celtics do. They out talent people. They don't out.
Yeah,
they out talent.
Okay. Cool. Whatever. All I'm saying is that it's a player element on the Celtics. It's not a coach's element. But you guys can argue the coach's thing all you want. It's not the case. You've got grown adults, grown men going up against grown men that know how to play the game of basketball, know how to run moves, know what they're doing, can feel it in the game. And you're saying it's completely on the coach. It's not.
It is. It's on Mazzulla. Mazzulla's gonna enjoy the doll next year. He's gonna be on the Benny, without a doubt. But to be fair, he's gonna have millions of dollars, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Oh,
Monty Williams.
Joe, I had you back out there. Joe, I had you back out there. I had you back.
All right. And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the Dunk Dynasty podcast episodes. It's time for trivia. So just an update on the ladder. Top of the table, myself at 5. We got Jed and Trey both at 4, and Ethan is on 1. But catching up quickly. So another opportunity today, fellas, to see if you can get up to the top ladder. So here we go. In honor of Jalen Brunson becoming having the second most points in the game in franchise history for the New York Knicks, I decided to go back into history and look at all other 29 franchises. Who has the second highest scoring game for each other franchise? So, in a game. Yeah. So, this is going to be good. So, this is how it's going to go. This is not the second most, like, points. For example, the Chicago Bulls. It's Michael Jordan from 1 to, like, 12. Then there's someone else. For plenty of other teams, it's the exact same way. It's the next person after the franchise leader. The next person. So Michael Jordan, obviously, he's got the first 12, but whoever's got the 13th highest is obviously who we classify as second. Does everyone understand the rules?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go one for one.
Everyone's going to go one for one. And then the last one is there is some stars in here which are worth double points. So there's some ones that are very, very difficult that I think a few franchises that I feel people are going to struggle on. So I gave those ones stars. There's also franchises where the first like the most points in history is tied with two people. So I'll give a point if you get the person who's tied first with, yeah, if you get people who are tied first, I'll give you points for that. But I'll also give you a point if you get the guy who's second. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So let us go. We will go today. Actually, we'll go in alphabetical order. So we'll give it to Ethan, then we'll go Jed, then we'll go Trey. Fairest way to go. So start with any franchise, but as soon as the franchise is done, it's done. So here we go. Ethan, you go first.
Well, I'll go with the Clippers, and I'll go with Elton Brand.
Incorrect. You can pick any franchise until it's gone. So keep going. Well, no, I mean, not you, Ethan, but like next person.
Bucks, I'm going to go Kareem.
Incorrect.
Gilbert Arenas for the Wizards.
He is tied first. You get a point.
And Bradley Beal is the other one.
He, Bradley Beal is also tied first. So you, I won't give you a point for that because you already said Gilbert Arenas. Back again to Ethan.
All right. Okay, cool. I'll go Kyrie Irving for the Cavs.
Kyrie Irving for the Cavs is correct. He's tied with someone. But you, yeah.
I'm going to go Elgin Baylor for the Lakers.
Elgin Baylor for the Lakers. Jed, you are correct. That is a point.
So the Wizards out as well?
Yeah, Wizards have got one more. Who's the actual second guy? So Arenas and Beal were tied for first.
Alvin Hayes.
No. Back to you.
Can I go Boogie Cousins for the Pelicans?
Cousins for the Pelicans is incorrect. Jed.
I'm going to go with Steph for the Golden State Warriors.
For the Warriors, that is incorrect. Now you try. It's either Jed tries the order, so you can keep firing them out.
Yeah. Rick Barry for the Warriors.
Rick Barry for the Warriors. You are correct.
Ethan.
Okay, I'll go Jed. How about that? Can I go with Bob McAdoo for the Clippers?
Bob McAdoo for the Clippers, correct.
What about CJ McCollum?
CJ McCollum, incorrect.
Shit. Dwayne Wade.
Incorrect.
Heat.
Incorrect.
Can I go with Butler for the Bulls?
Butler for the Bulls is incorrect.
Can I go with KD for the Thunder?
KD for the Thunder is correct. So this is an interesting one for the Thunder. Thunder, KD is the second, but there's someone who's tied first with Westbrook. So if you want to get that down the track, you can, but KD is second. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Reggie Miller for the Pacers.
No, incorrect.
Larry Bird for the Celtics.
Incorrect. Larry Bird is tied number one with Jason Tatum with 60.
Is that a point?
Nah.
Jalen Brunson.
Oh, no. No, you're right. That is a point. Yes, you're right, Ethan. That is actually a point. Yes, because he's tied. Yep, that's correct. You got a point. Try to rob you there, man.
Jalen Brunson for the Knicks.
Yes.
A little bit illegal.
Kyrie for the Nets.
Incorrect, my friend.
I'm flopping so hard. DeMar DeRozan for the Raptors.
Incorrect.
Tracy McGrady for the Raptors.
Incorrect. All right, I'm going to have to start rolling out some clues here. Okay, so for the Hornets and the Heat, it was the same person who did it.
Ben Rice.
Correct. And now we'll go... Yep, that is 2 points because he did it. Yeah, that's two separate ones. So yeah, it's 2 points, man.
Are we still guessing or are you just giving us clues now?
So we're back to Ethan. We give you one more go and to get some, and then we'll give you some clues. There's some obvious franchises out there, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Paul George for the Pacers.
Incorrect, sir.
I'm going to go with Damian Lillard for the Blazers.
Incorrect. Damian Lillard has the top five ones, but he is not second.
I think
George Gervin for the Spurs.
Trey Mitchell is back on the board. All right.
I'm also just looking at the standings for the teams because I
forget. This is a general one, and then we'll go back to Ethan after this clue. So the Pacers, he subbed out early to save Reggie Miller's record. So Reggie Miller had the record at 57. This guy had 55 and subbed out on purpose so that he wouldn't break the record.
Oh, is it TJ Warren?
No, you're close. He's a big man. TJ Warren's third. He's a big man.
Al Jefferson.
No. Shares a nickname with another big man in the NBA.
I'm just going to go Carmelo Anthony for the Nuggets.
No, that is incorrect. Anyway, we'll go to the Atlanta Hawks. Guard.
Alex
Trey Young.
Yes, Trey Young. The Boston Celtics, the official number two. Top 10 power forward of all time.
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin McHale.
Wait, Ethan, skip my turn.
No, we're just guessing now, Trey. I'm putting the clues out because you guys are struggling so much. Come on, guys. There's some obvious franchises out there.
Wait, who got their last point? Was it Milchid?
Ethan got that.
Gordon Hayward?
No.
Donovan Mitchell, sorry.
No. The Milwaukee Bucks. Jed should get this. He is my favorite left-hand player of all time. I always preach his praises.
Oscar Robertson.
What do you say the first time, Trey?
Michael Redd.
Ray Allen.
Yeah, oh. Michael Redd.
I always guess Michael Redd.
It's Michael Redd. Okay, so Michael Redd is off the board for the Bucks. The Minnesota Timberwolves, 2015, 52 points.
Carl Anthony
Towns is number one, two, and three.
Mo Williams.
Oh, fuck.
Derrick
Rose for the Bulls?
No, not Derrick Rose for the Bulls.
Dirk Nowitzki for the Mavericks?
He's running away with it now, guys. Come on. He's beating the brakes off you guys
is it
now.
Is Zach LaVine for the Bulls? Zach LaVine for the Bulls?
No, it's not Zach LaVine for the Bulls.
Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets?
No, it's not.
Jamal Murray for the Nuggets?
No, it is not.
Alex English.
He's one. He's one of the two. So that's one gone. So if anyone wants to get that one, another one down the track, feel free to. But Trey's got one point.
J.R. Smith for the Nuggets?
No. Orlando Magic, number two. Who was it? So Chet. Tracy McGrady's number one. Oh,
Chet.
Jed said that first. Yep.
By the way, Shea hit a game winner.
Is it Vince Carter for the Raptors?
It is not Vince Carter for the Raptors. Raptors was
Vince Carter for New Jersey Nets.
It is not. Here we go. Raptors was 2022. 52 points.
Kyle Lowry.
No.
What year was it, sorry?
Trey, you're paused because you just guessed us then. 2022. 52 points. So it's only Jed and Ethan.
Fred VanVleet.
No. So now it's Jed. This is your turn now.
For the Raptors. Fuck. I should know this.
2022. 52 points.
You know who it is, Trey?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I do too.
I have to count you down here. Four.
It's not Scotty Barnes. It's Scotty Barnes.
One. No. There you go.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Jed,
I went blank.
Okay. The Portland Trail Blazers.
Came to the Rockets.
No. The Portland Trail Blazers shares a last name with a famous power forward. From the Knicks.
Moses.
From the Knicks.
Malone.
Not Moses Amari Malone. Stoudemire, but...
Oh, Stoudemire. Damien.
Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, it's. I'll give it to Jed. It's Damon, but I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a point still.
I said Damon Stoudemire first.
No, I said it like three times.
Yeah, he said it three times before.
Is it Moses Malone for the Rockets?
It is not. For Joel the Embiid. 76ers, Joel Embiid Joel is Embiid. Number one. Who is number two?
Julius Erving.
Iverson.
What did Trey say? Sorry? Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yep, it is. Wilt Chamberlain. For the Grizzlies. Come on, fellas. Let's think here.
Jamal
Jefferson. Oh, Zach Randolph.
All you guys got it wrong. Yep, keep going.
Desmond Bane.
Yes, it is Desmond Bane. Dizzy with a hezzy. All righty. Hey, guys. The answer's running out here.
Anthony Davis for the Pelicans.
No. The
Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans.
No. Let's go back to the Pacers. Big man. Shares a favorite, a last name with the most dominant.
Jermaine O'Neal.
Yes. There we go. Guys, you guys are battling here. Come on, let's keep going here. No one knows these last ones. The Nets. Let's go back to the Nets. One-time Olympian, 2012, guard.
Oh,
Jaren Williams.
Jaren Williams. That's what I was thinking. Fuck. Fuck. Rose, fuck. Rose. I said, I mean to say Deron, but for some reason I said DeRozan.
Oh, it's over. It's very much over. He's so far ahead, but we'll get through these last ones anyway. These last ones are the Sacramento Kings.
Money Mitch.
Chris Weber.
De'Aaron Fox.
No, all of you wrong.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Bibby.
2016.
Fox. No.
Oh,
DeMarcus Cousins.
There you go. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. Yep. you're frozen out as soon as you guess here. The Utah Jazz.
Rudy Gobert.
No.
Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Karl Malone.
Yes.
Bullshit.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell first.
Pete Maravich is number one. Then it's Karl Malone at 61. So, fellas, there is only one, two, three left. So you've got the Bulls, you've got the Suns, and you have got the Pelicans.
Zach LaVine for the Bulls.
No, the Pelicans, 50 points in 2003. So it's
Chris Paul.
It's Jamal.
2004.
Oh, Mashburn. Jamal Crawford.
Mashburn.
One of you is right. You can. I'll leave you to guess. Yep, it's Jamal Mashburn. It's Mashburn. this is a cooking session. We also have the Rockets and the Pistons and the Suns as well as the Bulls. Okay, the Suns. No one's gonna get this one, but I hope you can.
Dan Lally.
No. Tom and his last name
Chambers. Tom Chambers.
Yeah, his last name is Chambers. There you go.
Trey, relax. Chambers. No one else.
All right, the Rockets.
Okay, Trey, you're blocked for the next four guesses. It's all us.
All right, the Rockets, 1978.
Malone.
He's Troy. He's Trey Murphy's dad.
Trey Murphy Senior.
Greg Murphy.
Okay, I'll make it easy for the
I'm
two.
With them on 2K, man.
What is Megatron's first name?
Eddie Turkey. Murphy.
Kelvin Murphy.
There you go.
What was it?
Kelvin Murphy.
Kelvin.
All right. And then the last one, the Chicago Bully Bulls. Here we go. Oh, no, there's two more. Sorry. The Bulls, though. First name, same first name as the Holmgren guy. And then same last name as what's his name? You know, Jabari from the Bulls. Jabari, not off of the Bulls, from the Trailblazers. Jabari,
Chet Walker.
Yes, you go.
I said Chet Walker.
No, I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Oh, brother,
you're up by 20 points. There's no point. Not like you should be stressing here. And then the Detroit Pistons. This should be fun.
Isaiah Thomas.
Was that?
Joe Dumas.
No, what did Jed say?
Hey, Cunningham.
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, no.
Sadiq Bey.
You've got part
oh,
of...
Sadiq Bey. Josh yeah, Smith. He got 50. Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, it's not.
The first penis.
It's, no? It's try. Trey Puckett is his last name. What's his first name?
Trey Puckett is his first name.
Trey Puckett. His last name is Trey Puckett or Trey Puckett? It's T-R-I-P-U-C-K-A.
It's
his last name.
It's Sadiq Trey Puckett.
It's not smelly, but
stinky.
Stinky Trey Puckett.
It's not smelly. Trey Rowland. Trey Puckett.
Kelly Trey Puckett.
There you go. All-time second most points in the game for the Detroit Pistons. Kelly Trey Puckett.
What a shit franchise.
I think I don't need to tell you guys who won that. I think it's very well clear who won that. If you guys want me to read out what it was, let me just say he got a lot of doubles in there, so it really wasn't very close. Yeah. Ultimate beatdown.
You got second, though. Surely I got second.
No. Second place was actually Jed by 2 points. Yeah, Jed only got you by 2 points, and I think that came from a bonus point for Chet Walker, which I basically handed it to him. So there you go.
That is a lie.
Yeah. So first place wasn't close, Trey Mitchell. Second place, Jed. And then Ethan, to be fair, you basically are second equal because Jed got handed that. But overall ladder, Trey joins myself at the top, 5 points and 4 for Jed. Ethan, you'll be back. Don't worry. I believe.
Ethan, you get a participation award.
I'm getting better, boys. I'm getting better.
Well, to be fair, when Trey was just shutting everyone down, Trey was just answering before anyone could even think. So it's...
Oh, but at the start, you guys would just keep going. Bleh, 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 and I was like, oh, well, I missed my turn. So then I just started blatting out.
Bro needs a life outside of Sporkle. But nah, I respect it. I respect it. That's a good win for you, man. That's a W for you. And it's a W for us, man. 20 episodes in the book, guys. Congratulations.
Just quickly before you sign off, Shea goes Alexander with a game winner.
Shout out Shea, yeah, man.
I'll put the link in the... I'll put the video in the group chat for you guys.
Shout out Shea. And shout out the OKC Thunder. Give the Nuggets some competition. You know, it's what you like to see end of the season. But yeah, special shout out to all the fans. Thank you again for watching if you're watching on YouTube, or thank you for listening if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, or Apple. Oh, sorry, Amazon Music. We really appreciate it. And we shall catch you on the next one. Episode 21, Dunk Dynasty Podcast, Justin 20. We shall see you later. Thanks for the support. Have a good one.
Peace out.
Catch you guys later. Have a good one.